Amen. Amen. Well, you can, I guess you can be seated. God bless you. Don't worry. I'm hungrier than anybody in here. So, and that's good when the speaker's hungry. You don't have to worry too much. Amen. God bless you. What an honor, Brother Shepherd. What an honor. And I'm excited about being here. Brother Shepherd told me about the mission conference / camp meeting 2 years ago, and I wanted to come. And this year, we were actually out of town, and it hit me that it's got to be close. So I got in contact with him, and it worked out. And so my wife and I are tickled to death to be here. Thank you so much for having this. I know something like this doesn't happen without a whole lot of work from a lot of people. And that was evident last night when we got to walk through all that line of and enjoy that food. I mean, three different soups and chili and hot dogs. And that was a good spread. That was a good meal. And I realize probably a lot of the people who put that on may already be in the back. And so anyway, I appreciate that. Amen. It's quite an honor to be here to this morning. And thank the Lord for this church, Island Ford Baptist Church. And what a blessing to see God's people. One of the things that I enjoy about whenever we go anywhere else is you begin to realize you're not the only one. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
That's what these meetings help you understand. Brother Moyes has been down there to our camp meeting, and that's what I say, you know, when you get together, Brother Bryant's preached for us, you realize you're not alone, and there's many people who have not bowed their knee to Baal, and they're in Oklahoma and Missouri and Kentucky and Tennessee and even Alabama, amen, and so praise the Lord. I tell you what, even Tennesseans and Alabamans can agree when it's not football season about the Lord, amen, so God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and I really won't be long. I'm going to move quickly, but I believe this will help you. Know why you do what you do is the title of the message.
Amen.
Know why you do what you do. Last night, a lot of preachers, I think it was Dr. Tom Malone that said he just reads Scripture, Brother Farrell, until he got enough courage to preach.
Yeah.
And for me, I'll tell a joke or two that I get enough courage to preach. And boy, there's been some good preaching already.
Amen.
What a blessing. Last night was phenomenal. I was so glad to get to hear Brother Eric preach. I had not heard him preach before, and what a blessing. Our church supported his grandfather for years, and what a great work's going on there in Lyles, Tennessee. And Brother Bryant, I was tickled to death when I heard he was going to be preaching last night. And I talked with Brother Shepherd, and he told me he would be preaching, so I was glad.
Amen.
And gentlemen, the two gentlemen that preached this morning, thank you for that.
Amen.
The first time I've heard you preach, and as far as I know, the first time I've met you, but I appreciate the messages that you brought to us this morning. If it didn't help anyone else, it helped me. I know that. Thank you so much. And John chapter 13, but we were laughing last night. I was talking with Brother Daniel and Brother Shepherd. We were talking about North, South, and the Civil War, And I love studying that subject, and there were battles. The Battle of Stones River was fought just up the road from us and over in Beech Grove as well. So it's all around us. If you grew up in the South, you have these battlefields and you study it, and I've always enjoyed that. I even take part in reenactments. I really enjoy that kind of thing. Now, my wife is from Michigan, so we always have a little fun back and forth with the whole North-South thing. But I heard a story back during the Civil War. William T. Sherman was marching through Georgia, Union general, and as he was marching through southern Georgia, he was riding his horse, and suddenly a rebel sniper from way out, couldn't tell where it was, shot the hat right off his head. Just almost got his head. I'm sure he wasn't aiming for his hat, but wish he'd have been better shooter. But anyway, better aim. But so Sherman, realizing that there was a sniper up there and he was going to cause him trouble, he hollers to a couple of his soldiers and says, "Gentlemen," he tells one of his sergeants, he says, "take five men, go up there and get that rebel sniper out of the woods, take care of him. We can't move on until he's gone." So the man went, and they heard the shouting and shooting and all kind of carrying on, and none of them came back. So the general said, "Okay," and he looked at a lieutenant. He said, take 10 men and get that rebel sniper out of here. We got to get this army moving." And he left, and boy, they heard the war going on up there in the woods, and all 10 of them didn't come back. Finally, he said, "I've had it with this." He said, "Major, take 50 men and get rid of that rebel sniper. We got to get this army moving." And boy, they heard the fighting and the shooting and the carrying on. And the major came back, but he'd been shot twice and he was beat up and he was the only one that came back. And he said, "General Sherman," he said, "they've tricked us. There's two of them up there." But anyway, take that for what it's worth. Amen. John chapter 13 and verse 17 says this, and we'll get started. It says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Know why you do what you do." Father, I don't have anything to offer these men. It's just like the preachers before us said, if you don't do it, it won't get done. Father, I'm up here needing you now to help these people. I have a message, but it'll fall and it'll be worthless unless you speak through me. I pray now that you'll just get your message across to your people, and I pray it'll be a blessing to them. And we ask this in your name we pray. Amen. I want to be a blessing to everybody here, whether you're a preacher or not. If you're involved in any kind of ministry work, whether it's cleaning up the church or teaching a Sunday school class or fixing food for a fellowship or whatever it may be, if you're a soul winner, which we all should be soul winning, and if you're a soul winner and you're getting out and you're trying to reach people, you're trying to help people, I believe this message can be a blessing to you. Because if you've been involved in any type of ministry that helps people, I can guarantee you one thing, you've been hurt by people. That's a guarantee. That's right. If you reach out to help others, then you've had your motives questioned, your feelings hurt, you've had your name besmirched, you've had people accuse you of things you're not guilty of. Right. That's what happens when you reach out to help people. Right. You're going to get hurt by people. Yep. It's just what happens. Yep. By the way, before we go any further, let's just be honest. We've hurt some of the people that have tried to help us. Right. It's what we do, unfortunately, our old carnal nature. Says things earlier, as I think it was stated, be careful about how you deal with people because you can hurt them. And we're going to learn something here from John chapter 13. I know that you know the story. Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. They're having the Last Supper. The crucifixion is about to take place. And Jesus finishes his meal, and he does something that will teach us some valuable truths in regards to knowing why you do what you do. He takes a towel, he takes a basin of water, you know the story, he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, he taught the disciples a whole lot more in this action than just humility. Right. He taught them more than just servitude here, although that's clearly taught. He taught them so much more than that. You see, I want us to look at some truths out of this story and see what we can apply. He knew that he would soon be betrayed, and think about this. He would soon be betrayed and crucified by the very people that he was helping. But yet he continued to serve them. Do you realize that he washed Judas' feet? He knew exactly what Judas was about to do. But he didn't skip him. He didn't go up to him and say, "You buzzard, I know what you're up to. You know, get out, I ain't messing with you." No, he didn't do that. A true servant will continue serving even when they're suffering. I've grown up at Victory Baptist Church. I was youth pastor there for 24 and a half years, almost 25. Our family moved there when I was 8 years old, so I grew up at Victory Baptist. I was under a man that I called the greatest man of God I've ever known, my pastor, Dr. Jim Tedder, who went to be at the Lord in 2020 of August, and a great man of God, and he taught me so much. One of the things he taught me is that he continued to help and to serve even though I saw people hurt him. Right. I'll never forget one day there was a man that came back to our church and he was sitting there and Brother Jim said, "Yeah, it's so good to have this man back with us." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "You know, I was thinking about maybe getting him involved in this." And I said, "Brother Jim, do you remember him?" He said, "Oh, yeah, he used to go here." I said, "Do you realize, you remember what he did to you?" He went, "Oh, yeah, that's right." He'd forgotten that. Yep. He was so used to serving and helping others, he'd already forgotten what that man had done. Now, I didn't forget, Brother Shepherd, because I didn't want it to happen again to my pastor. But, you know, that's a man that's a servant. I've known people through the years that have suffered, and although they're suffering, they continue to serve. I was called into the ministry and answered the call to preach or gave my life to the Lord, do whatever he wanted me to do at a tent revival at Murfreesboro. And while that tent revival, that's someone else, that sounded like my phone. I thought, oh my goodness, my phone's going off. But in that tent revival, I did not realize that the man who was preaching in that revival was going through a battle. I learned this years and years later.
Right.
He was going through a terrible, horrible battle. But you know what? I didn't know it. I was just a teenager sitting there listening. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, he didn't quit, Brother Shepherd.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, he didn't say, I give up. Hey, they're attacking me and the devil's against me and I'm done with this. No, he just kept going.
Amen.
And because he kept going, a young man, a teenager, was sitting there saying, wow, God's speaking to my heart.
Amen.
By the way, when you're in the middle of a battle and you're going through some hard times, it's probably a good sign God's going to move.
Amen.
The devil doesn't like what's going on. He's trying to stop you.
Yep.
And there's probably a good sign God's fixing to do something. I thank God that that man of God didn't quit. You know,
Amen.
Jesus was betrayed by one that he loved. You know the story, and I'm going to skip through a little quicker than normal in order to get us on to the next facet of this meeting that we all love. But anyway, Jesus does not cast Judas out.
Right.
He doesn't cast him out. Now, that's interesting.
Right.
That's interesting. I look at that, and by the way, let me say this, now that I've been a pastor now for a year and a half, and so if you need any advice, don't talk to me about it. Don't come see me. Talk to one of these other men. I'll tell you that real quick. But I'll tell you this much. I do know this by watching my pastor. I do know that there comes a time when the man of God has to cast out a wolf.
Oh yeah.
There comes a time.
Yep.
And listen, God's man cannot allow someone to hurt other people.
Right.
You know, we're to watch these kids. We're to guard these children. I'm not going to allow anybody at Victory Baptist hurt the people and the children of our church.
Right.
I'll tell them to hit the road quick.
Right.
If there's someone coming in that's trying to split the church, you can't allow that to continue.
Amen.
But I want you to notice something different about Judas. You see, Judas was not giving the ministry any trouble.
Right.
There is no sign anywhere other than the fact that the Bible calls him a thief and there's something going on there. But as far as the disciples, they thought Judas was a good guy.
Yep.
They would have said, hey, he's one of us.
Yep.
You see, the only trouble that Judas was giving was directed toward Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus said, I can overlook that.
Mm.
Wow. You know, man of God, you're in a ministry. I don't care what kind of ministry it is. You got somebody giving you trouble. Well, they just don't like me, preacher. They're just against me. Hey, that's not reason to cast them out.
Right.
Well, they're attacking me personally. Jesus took the personal attacks and continued ministering.
Amen.
Now, I believe if Judas had started trying to stir up trouble, going over to Andrew and John saying, hey, you need to follow me, guys. You don't need to listen to Jesus.
Yeah.
I think Jesus would have cast him out.
Yeah.
But there he didn't, though. And he continued to serve him. He continued to minister to him. Judas was not harming the ministry. He was just harming Christ. And Christ continued to try to help him. Jesus does nothing to get back at Judas. You notice that? He does nothing to get back at Judas. He doesn't point him out and try to embarrass him. No, you don't find that going on. A lot of times, we got to be careful in our ministries. This goes for all of us. I'm not just talking to preachers, but we want to get back at somebody. We want to let them know, hey, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back twice as hard. That's not Christianity. That's not the way Jesus worked. The next thing we find here is, if you look at verse 4 and 5, it says this, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, we see something here, and you know, if you know Bible history, people walked around in sandals, their feet got dirty. And so it was traditional when they would come to eat or come to someone's house, a servant would wash their feet.
Right.
Their feet would be filthy. And so that was a typical thing, but you notice no one had washed anybody's feet.
Yep.
No one had taken the job upon them. So Jesus sees this, and he himself begins to wash the disciples' feet. This is very important to note. If you're going to be in the ministry for any amount of time at all, listen, this is very important. There's never a crowd to do the work. There's never a crowd to do the work. I have never had to stand in line, brother, to do the work of God. It just seems like there's an open road, you know. There's never people you got to run over the top of and say, no, I'm going to do it this time. No, they'll let you do it. They'll let you do it. You know, and if you notice here, Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. No one had done it. He takes it upon himself. When you decide to be like Jesus and serve, don't expect a crowd.
Right.
Don't expect a crowd.
Man.
So many times we get frustrated. We get into a ministry and you end up going to the pastor and saying, hey, I was wanting to do it, but nobody helped me. Well, welcome to the crowd.
Yeah.
Get used to working alone.
Amen.
Young people, get a job, get in there and get it done. Well, none of the other teenagers are helping me. That's okay. Jesus didn't have anybody helping him wash feet, did he? And we're talking about some incredible men. Now, you'll notice something here. You know, Peter said, oh, no, don't wash my feet. We'll talk about that in just a second. But you notice Peter didn't say, Lord, let me wash. You know, why didn't he grab the basin, Brother Bryant, and say, no, you're not going to wash my feet. I'm going to wash your feet. He doesn't do that. John the Baptist said, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me, basically. But that's not what Peter does here, because there's not a lot of people ready to go to work. And if you're going to be in the ministry, you got to understand that and continue. Don't be surprised when most people will sit back and watch you work. Listen, I was youth pastor for 25 years, and I guarantee you 50% of the people at Victory Baptist said, well, Brother Lloyd would do it. Hey, and I'd do it. But I never forget one day I had some stuff I was bringing in. It was some plywood. And you know, big sheet of plywood is hard enough to carry, but when the wind's blowing, Brother Moyes, it's really tough. And I was getting that plywood out of the back of my pickup truck, bringing it into the church. And man, the wind was blowing and it was like trying to hang on to a giant kite. And I was fighting. I finally got it all unloaded. When I got it unloaded, I didn't realize it, but a man in our church, who's a good friend of mine, but I'm still bitter. But anyway, he was in his pickup truck and he got out and he said, Brother Lloyd, I just had the best time watching you fight with that plywood. I'm telling you, I almost lost my Christianity, Brother Eric. I'm like, where were you at? You know, you could have helped, but don't be shocked when nobody wants to offer to help. Christ, by the way, listen, here's what happens. I've been there. You've been there. You doing anything for the Lord. Christ does not chide with the disciples. He doesn't jump up and say, we're going to have a meeting. I'm doing all this work. Where are the rest of you? Why doesn't anybody get on board? You ought to be ashamed. Christ doesn't do that. What does he say as he's washing their feet? John, what are you doing? John's probably the youngest among them. If anyone should have been washing feet, it should have been John. He didn't get on to John. He didn't chide with anybody. He just does the job.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we get in there, and if we're going to serve God, get ready. Hey, there's not going to be a lot of people lining up to help you, but don't get upset. Don't chide. It may be a lot of chiding going on in the brain, but don't let it come out. It's not going to help anybody. By the way, look at verse 6 through 8. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? This is Peter. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the next thing. When you get ready to do something for the Lord, realize you're going to have your motives questioned. You're going to have your motives questioned.
Yeah.
Now, I understand Peter was showing some, you know, humility here and saying, Lord, you shouldn't be doing this to me. And I think Peter was more embarrassed than anything. I mean, goodness gracious. One thing that embarrassed me when I was assistant pastor is if I saw Brother Jim doing something and I realized I should have done that.
Right.
That embarrassed me. I jump on it and I get it done. Maybe I didn't want to do it, but seeing him do it made me. That's sort of what Peter was going through here.
Right.
I think he was just embarrassed. But Jesus has his, you're going to have your motives questioned.
Yep.
Well, I know why she's doing that. She just wants everybody to praise her.
Yep.
I know why he gave that money. He just wants everybody to know how much money he's got. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know why they got up there and sang that special. They want everybody to think how good a singer they are.
Right.
Yeah, your motives will get questioned.
Right.
But don't let it stop you.
Yeah, man.
Don't let it stop you. Don't let it make you quit. Hey, continue to serve the Lord. You'll have your motives questioned. But there's one thing I've learned by experience. You see, when I came back to Victory Baptist after Bible college, I grew up there. I mean, a lot of the people that I minister to now, they knew me when I was just a little skunk raising all kind of trouble in the church. There's people in our church that gave me a whooping. They grew up. They know me. And there's one thing, when I came back as a youth pastor, some of the young people in my youth department I played ball with on the varsity team. I hung out with them. So that was tough to come back and say, okay, now I'm your leader. That was tough. And I had, when I came back, a lot of people questioned me. Oh, he thinks he's got it all figured out. He's been off to Bible college. He's got all the answers now. Yeah, he's going to come back and change everything. And you know, I had a lot of my motives questioned. But I'm going to tell you something. This is what I learned. If you'll just keep serving the Lord and doing what God's asked you to do, those same people that will question your motives will soon be your greatest allies.
Right.
they'll soon be your greatest supporters. Yeah, they're a little suspicious. They're maybe a little critical at the beginning, but if you don't allow it to get you mad and turn you sour and get bitter, those same people will be the ones to be encouraging you later on.
Amen.
They'll go, man, you know what? He stuck at it.
Yeah.
He was real. I don't really blame God's people from being a little suspicious from time to time. There's a lot of people that come in and they're like fireworks. Yeah. Wow, that was beautiful. Where did they go? Yeah. They get suspicious after a while. Someone comes in and they're, boy, let's go charge hell with a squirt gun. And they're like, okay, you go and we'll see how it works out and see if you're going to be around. Yeah, they've experienced that a little bit. So if you get that from people, just stay faithful. Just keep doing what's right and they'll come along. They'll come along eventually and they'll be there. The same people I had people that questioned my motives when I first came on staff are the same people that voted me in as pastor. You just stay faithful. You don't even have to do a great job. Faithfulness goes a long way. It goes a long way just doing what you're supposed to do. You'll face some ridicule. You'll face some accusations, but don't let it stop you. We find here that when you serve, your motives will be questioned. The next thing we see in verse 21, it says this. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Christ prepared the disciples for disappointment.
Yeah.
If you're going to serve the Lord, get ready for disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the facts, and this helped me. The Lord gave me this message because I needed it, not because I necessarily believed that I could help anybody, but because I knew it. I knew I needed it. Verse 22, look at this. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. You know, we assume when we get ready to do something for the Lord, let's be honest. We assume that everybody's going to be encouraging us. We assume that when you go to help somebody, now you're really not, your heart is not, oh, I hope they write my name in the paper. I hope they give me a bunch of money. No, but you do assume that they're going to at least be appreciative. The ladies that have prepared these meals, I guarantee you, they assume that when we go through, we'll at least say thank you. That's the least we can do. That's natural human tendency. And so when you begin to do something for somebody, you naturally assume that they're gonna thank you. They're gonna at least be appreciative of what you're doing for them. And sometimes we can be motivated by the idea that we'll be loved and appreciated for our service. Boy, you know, Brother Shepherd, I get up and preach this message, the church will love me. Boy, they'll just come in behind me. Boy, if I do this, that, hey, and sometimes we're motivated by that. We're human. Boy, they're going to appreciate this. They're going to be glad that, ladies, you baked that cake and you brought them that food. I never forget, we've done this every year and bring food or toys to needy folks. And I'll never forget one day our family put together a bunch of toys and wrapped them up and took them to this needy family. We knocked on the door. The dad said, yeah, come on in. And we said, we brought you some things. He said, okay, put them right over there. We put them over there and he said, see ya. I wanted to grab him and walk right back out with him. Now, I wasn't wanting him to pay us, but I did want to see a little appreciation. That's human. But when we go in with that motivation, we're going to get hurt again and again, and you'll quit. You won't do it anymore. You'll say, that's it. Nobody appreciates what I'm doing. Not only will some of the people you help not appreciate you, they'll even betray you. We're not talking about people that you've had a fuss with. We're talking about people you've been over backwards for. People that you did all you could to help them, and they'll be the ones that'll be stabbing you in the back. Yeah, John 10:32, Jesus answered them. I love this verse. To me, it shows a little humor from our Savior. To me, listen to this. John 10:32, Jesus answered them. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? I see a little humor there. He said, I've done a lot of good things for you. So now what are these good things I've done for you that you're stoning me for?
Right.
Yeah. They were getting ready to stone Jesus. By the way, they couldn't because that wasn't the way his life would end.
Right.
That wasn't God's plan. And there's a lesson there. God, hey, until God's done with you, nobody can do anything to stop you. God's got a plan. And so anyway, don't assume that everyone's going to appreciate what you're doing. Jesus warned his disciples that they would not be viewed favorably by everyone. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. When you do what you do, expecting to always be viewed as a good guy, then you're setting yourself up for some bitter disappointment.
Right.
You're setting yourself up.
Yep.
Brother, when you go to Spain and you think there'll be people, they'll be glad I'm there, you'll be disappointed.
Right.
And there's a reason that we do what we do. Know why you do what you do. Know why you're doing the ministry that you're doing. Let's look further. You say they don't appreciate all I've done for them. Why do they reward my love with hate? Boy, I tell you one thing social media has done is given evil people a platform to just show hate and attack the man of God and attack the people of God. There are young people that I gave my life to and my wife did, and we love them. And what do? They get on there and attack. And vilify.
Yep.
And if you're doing what you're doing, just, and hey, by the way, it's sort of a, I mean, it's a good motivation. I want to help somebody.
Yep.
I want to help people. I want to do what I want to be something that they need. But if that's your only motivation, you'll quit.
Right.
You'll quit. I guarantee it.
Yep.
You won't last.
Right.
We got to have more than that.
Yep.
Brother, we're getting into what you were preaching just earlier. Many Christian workers have quit because they do not know why they do what they do. They don't understand it. We don't. I've been there. They got excited about making a difference and got busy doing and skipped the knowing. Boy, I want to make a difference. That's good. I want to change the world for Christ. That's good. I want to see souls saved. I want to help people. That's good. That's what you ought to be wanting to do, but you need to know why you're wanting to do that. Verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We're still in John chapter 13. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. They gladly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Let's turn there, please, if you would. Hold your place in John 13. And let's turn quickly over to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you're probably familiar with the verse, no doubt, but in 12 and verse 15, one more page, here we go. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Christian worker, I don't care if you're a preacher or you're a lady that helps with the young people or whatever your work is. You're just trying to help your neighbors. You better underline that verse.
Yep.
You better make that a life's verse, one of your main verses.
Yep.
I'll never forget the first time that I noticed that verse. The principal of our Christian school, my principal for years, Brother Michael Hawkins, who now pastors in Tennessee. But that was his verse.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. If there's anybody in this world that's not appreciated, it's teachers.
Yeah.
There's nobody that really appreciates someone that makes them learn things that they really don't care to learn. And so that was his verse, and that may need to be your verse. Read it again. And I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved.
Yep.
You know, you have to give unselfishly and sacrifice, working hard for others. You know, they felt that they were doing what they were doing for the people. And oftentimes we get that feeling, and that's going to take us down. We got to get the right motive for our mission.
Right.
Christian workers get used and are unappreciated by the people they're selflessly and sacrificially helping. Let me warn you, Christian worker, you'll never be fully appreciated the way you should be.
Right.
You
right.
won't be.
Right.
You never just get a hold of it. You're not
yep.
going to be.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Yep.
Now let's get on past it. Let's move on by it.
Right.
You'll be hurt by the people that you're helping. That's just the truth.
Yep.
You'll even be betrayed by the people that you're helping.
Yep.
Christ warns us of this in John chapter 13, right before he goes to Calvary.
Right.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yep.
So how do we keep from quitting? Knowing these things are true, knowing this is coming, how are you going to keep from quitting? You must know why you do what you do. You see, doing God's will... You belong to, let's go back. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to John 13 and verse 3. Here it is. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. Listen to that for a second. Knowing that God had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God. If you'll remember this as you serve God, number one, you belong to God.
Amen.
You're doing God's will.
Yep.
And you will soon be with God. Yeah, it's all about Him.
Yeah.
It's all about Him. I sure enjoy when people appreciate what I do for them, but whether they like it or not, God told me to do it, and I'm going to continue doing it. I'm doing it for Him, and someday I'll be with Him. I'm doing His will. You just do it because God told you to do it. And if someone thanks you, hey, that's bonus. And if they don't, wasn't expecting it anyway. And just move on. We don't ultimately do what we do to help others. We don't ultimately do what we do to help others. We do it because God asked us to do it. Look in verse 34. It says, a new commandment, same chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And here's the trump card. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Why should we love others? Why should you help these kids? Why should we reach out to the community and win them to Christ? Why should we do it? Well, because we love them. Well, yeah, I hope so.
Right.
But that's not really why we're doing it.
Right.
We're doing it because He loved us. Right. And that'll keep us moving forward.
Right.
Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we're doing it for His sake. Now, are you following the Master? That's the question. Verse 16 of chapter 13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
Right.
Look how they treated Jesus.
Yeah.
Why do I think they treat me any better?
Right.
Look what they did to my Savior.
Right.
Why am I shocked when they start doing the same things to me?
Right.
We've got to continue and get beyond these feelings that we have. And all of us face it. All of us go through it. Here's something I'd like to give you that I hope is a blessing to you as it was to me when the Lord showed it to me, and we'll be done. In John chapter 13, I want to encourage you. Do it to people if you can't do it for. And there's a truth here. Do it to people if you can't do it for. The word to expresses motion in the direction of. The word for means in favor of or on behalf of. Now, why do I get this? In verse 12, look at what it says. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done for you? Is that what it says? No. He says, know ye what I have done to you. Now, I obviously know that God uses the words He wants to use.
That's right.
So the word, now I would have said, know what I've done for you? No, Jesus said, know what I've done to you? Now, hang with me here for just a second. Look in verse 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done. There it is again. To you. When I was reading this, I thought, Lord, why wouldn't you have said for? But then I began to look at the meaning of the word to and for. Now, once again, to means expression, motion toward, the direction of, whereas for is in favor of or on behalf of. You know, you can do something to someone without doing it for them. Yes, sir. You see, I can show someone my love. I can show love to someone, but for Jesus. I can show love to someone who's cussing me out, who's attacking me on social media, who's doing their best to put me down. I can still do something to them, even though, let's just be honest, I don't have any real love for them. I'm not feeling too happy right now. I'd like to let them have it. I got some choice words, Brother Eric. I know how to get back. But I'm going to continue to show love too, because I have love for Jesus. And I believe that's what He's teaching us here. I believe that's what He's saying here. Jesus clearly loved His disciples. There's no doubt. Look at verse 1. He had love for them. Now before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, chapter 13, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. So Jesus wasn't just showing love to them. He had love for them. I understand that. So why would He use the word to here? I believe it was for our own benefit. I believe that Jesus was showing us something that we could apply to ourselves. The word to is used for our example. Look in verse 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Look at verse 35. This is the reason why I think it's for our example. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Is that what it says? That's how a lot of times we quote it. Because that seems to make sense to us. But what does it say? It says that you have love one to another. Now, there's another truth here. Two is an action. There's action behind it. It's not just a feeling. True love isn't just a feeling. It's an action. So there's more to be learned here, too. But I'll tell you one of the truths I think and what the Lord showed me is that God says, hey, even if you're not having any love for that person, and to be honest, you're really ticked right now, you just keep showing love to them because you have love for me. Child of God, if you'll apply that and use that, it'll encourage you. It'll help you to keep from quitting. This truth can help you through the hard spots in your ministry. Even, hey, listen, even in a marriage. Let's be honest. Well, it was said earlier, I forget, you know, when you hear this many sermons, you forget who preached what. I heard one man say, I've heard so many life-changing sermons, I don't even know who I am any longer. But somebody was talking about marriage and the truth is, hey, we're people. And two people are not going to see eye to eye all the time. And ladies, sometimes your husband's going to be a stinker. And you may have to just show love to him, even though at the time you may not have a lot of love for him. Same thing true, gentlemen. Hey, don't we do that with our kids? Sure we do. There's sometimes, boy, we're ready to take little Johnny up and put him out for adoption, but that's not what we're supposed to do. We don't have a lot of love for him right then, but we can sure have love to him. You say, preacher, isn't that a terrible way to have to work with people? Isn't that a terrible attitude to have to work with people? Well, it's not the best attitude, and it's not the best way, but would it be better to quit? No. It's not the best way. Well, I'm just doing this for Jesus' sake because I love my Savior, but boy, I could sure yank a knot in you. No, that's a bad way to do it. I understand that, but it would be better to quit. No. So continue showing love too until eventually you'll have love for.
Yeah.
You see, look in verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So once again, here's the truth. If you'll keep showing love to, you'll eventually have love for.
That is right. Yes.
There's people that there was times that, man, if I had my way, Brother Shepherd, they might not have been living.
Right.
And I'd have been in jail. But I continue to show love too, and I'll tell you, now I have love for them.
Amen.
I honestly do.
That is right.
You see, if you'll continue to show love too, eventually you'll have love for also. Amen. I heard a story, and we'll be done with this, but I heard a story about a lady who came to a divorce lawyer. And she said, I'm tired of my husband. I want to be done with him. But I want to know, and I want to hurt him. I'm so mad at him, I want to hurt him bad. How can I hurt him the best way possible? And the divorce lawyer said this. Here's what you need to do. He said, don't divorce him yet. You go back and you be super kind to him and you be everything he wants and needs. And you get him convinced that he can't possibly live without you. You get him convinced that if he lost you, he'd lose his whole world. And then when you get him to that point, you divorce him. And that'll hurt him bad. Several months later, she never returned, and he saw her in town, and he said, what about this? He said, you never came back to see me. Did you do what I told you to do? She said, sure I did. He said, well, aren't you ready to get a divorce? She said, are you crazy? I love him. Yeah. You start doing love too, you'll eventually have love for too. And God, I believe, is teaching us this in these verses. You see, child of God, the Lord doesn't want you to quit. And you're going to get disappointed. And if you don't watch it, if you don't get a hold of this, you'll get bitter.
Yep.
There's count, brother, we know it. There's countless preachers who used to be in the ministry.
Yep. Yes.
And I'll be honest, if you hear their stories, you think they got a pretty good reason for not being in the ministry. They didn't get done right. They got done dirty.
Yep.
And they've had it. And their family's been hurt. And they've been hurt. And they're done with it. And there's people who are in church. You don't have to be a preacher to be in this category. There's people who were in church, and man, boy, they were in there, and they were serving, and they were going, and everybody was happy to let them do it.
Right.
And eventually, when they began to realize, boy, no one appreciates me, they were done with it all.
Yep.
If you don't get a hold of this, you'll quit.
Yep.
You'll burn out. You'll give up. You'll give in. But listen, child of God, we're not doing it for people. We're doing it for Jesus.
Amen.
We're doing what we do for the Lord. And praise the Lord, when we do what we're supposed to do for Him, we'll help a lot of people. I think of how many folks invested in me, and I'm thankful that they didn't quit.
Amen.
I'm thankful they kept going. And you know, one of the things that speaks volumes, and I'll shut up here. One of the things that speaks volumes isn't how good you are at what you do, but that you continue doing what you do. I tell you what, faithfulness is more important than talent or prestige or popularity, whatever. Faithfulness. They may not be the best preacher, but I'll tell you one thing. He stuck at it. She may not be the best worker in the church and the best Sunday school teacher, but I'll tell you what, she's been doing it for 30 years. Everybody admires that. And that speaks. And let me give you our text verse and we'll be done. Know why you do what you do. And in verse 17 it says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them.
Amen.
Know why you're doing what you do. Father, I thank you for the truth that you showed me. It helped me. Dear God, it encouraged me in a time where I was considering quitting, and you showed me the truth. I pray to help others. You don't want any of these people to stop. You don't want any of them to give up on their children or their marriage or their neighbors or their church or the people they work with in the church. But dear God, we are all going to get upset and get discouraged. Help us to continue, we pray. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Please bless the rest of the meetings and the sermons, and bless these precious missionaries, Father, that are willing to go to a foreign field or serve you here in the States. Bless them, Lord. Meet their needs and help them, we pray, in Jesus' name.